As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Mayor Hamilton, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm fine, looking out on the gray skies you described, but nice to be with you again this week.
When I was in the restaurant business, we always had a glut of umbrellas left behind by people, and today would be one of those days where we'd have extra bumper chutes and parasols laying around. But I guess I have to remind myself, without the rain, flowers and grass and trees and everything else don't grow, so I'll trade a rainy Monday and a rainy Tuesday. Maybe I'll be more productive. I'll talk myself into it. How does that sound?
Well, the farmers at the farmers market, which was beautiful last Saturday, said, yeah, you know, they like rain during the week, but then give them a beautiful Saturday for people to show up. So we had, I don't know, 1,400 people last Saturday. That was a nice, beautiful morning. We'll hope for that for Saturday.
I went down there about 12:45 because by the time I got moving and going, they were wrapping up, obviously, but you could see that there was plenty of activity down there. I walked down to the new garage, checked it out, and waddled around downtown in the campus as well. So, yes, when it's like that, that was our first nice Saturday in four, by the way. The three Saturdays before last Saturday were all rainy and gross. So that was very, very nice to have. But enough about the weather. Everybody wants, I can hear them yelling at me through the radio, ask them about annexation already. What are you waiting for? Well, when we spoke last Tuesday, the cat was not out of the bag just yet. That was Wednesday. And so you've had almost a week to digest everything. For people who are just reading headlines or hearing the headlines of annexation is back, tell us what the goal is of the city moving forward and why we're doing this right now.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, Bloomington as a city has annexed property hundreds of times in our history. You know, we started as a city that was six blocks big. And unless you live on those six blocks now, everybody lives on land that's been annexed into Bloomington over the many years, and that process goes on. We actually started it in 2017, 4 years ago, just to give the context, because people may remember that if they were paying attention back then. And the state legislature stepped in with a bill in the last moment of the legislature and put in a little provision that said Bloomington has to stop its annexation and don't annex for 5 years. And it took 4 years, but the Supreme Court of Indiana said, as we knew, that that was unconstitutional. The state constitution does not let the legislature pass what's called special legislation focusing on one community like that. So that was overturned, and that's what led us. That just happened a few months ago. And that's what let us resume the annexation. So we're basically picking up where we left off from 2017. And it's a fairly large proposal. It all goes to the city council. They vote on this. And I have to propose boundaries. The city council can shrink the boundaries that I propose. They cannot expand them. So we're picking up where we left off, and it's a multi-month process. It will begin probably next week with what's called the fiscal update, the adoption of fiscal ordinances that analyze what the impact of annexation would be. And, you know, I can go on and on about this, but the main point is just that healthy cities grow their boundaries regularly. Now, Bloomington hasn't grown them for 17 years, so we've kind of been stuck with boundaries, and while lots of development and population has increased. So we're just kind of trying to keep the process going of Bloomington adjusting our boundaries to follow the urbanized areas.
I believe one of the pushbacks 4 years ago was we didn't have enough time to talk about it or get this organized, and I could be wrong here. You can jump in at any time, but now that it's 4 years later, should people be ready for this, so to speak?
Well, it is a good point. There were people who wanted more time. We were only halfway through a multi-month process when the legislature stopped. But absolutely, there's been 4 years to look at it and think about it now, and we've done that. And I've been in good touch with county folks. Not all of them are wanting to sit down, but many of them are, and that's a good thing to talk about what's the impact, and talking to the school corporation about making sure, you know, that we manage all of this well. And it's also good for people to know that once annexation is voted on, probably this year, we still don't implement it for about 2.5 years. You kind of have a long planning period to put that into place. So all this stuff has a long tail to it, and there's plenty of time to talk and work out the details.
Well, and I think the details are what are interesting, because some people will say, well, if you're going to, why are we doing this? We've made it 17 years. Why do we do this now? And I'm just playing devil's advocate with that. And there are some islands, quote unquote, if you've looked at the maps, I know you have, if the listener has looked at the maps, that are surrounded by city, that are not in the city. That's part of this. And then is this based on services, tax dollars, all the above? I know we'll talk about this every Tuesday from here till whenever. So I'm just trying to paint a larger picture for those that might not grasp it or live in the city or like somebody like me who lives on the city county border where it might be a little bit more important.
Yeah, look, I mean, cities, you create a city. A city is established in the first place because there's a group of people who are combining and living closer together. You incorporate as a city or a town because you have a concentrations of people. That's not the scattered kind of more rural landscape. And when you gather as a city, you create a taxing unit so you can provide the services that an urban environment needs that a rural environment doesn't need. Things like more intense police coverage, things like more intense road investments, more intense park investments, more intense sanitation services, and on and on. And that's why cities are created and why they grow. Now, I will have to say, so city tax rates are higher than rural tax rates because the city level of services is much higher. That's the kind of taxes that pay for Switchyard Park and for the, you know, all the downtown infrastructure and all of the sanitation services and street sweeping and trail construction and parks and all those things. So it is a really good deal if you can live right next to a city and not pay city taxes. And so over time, cities gradually pull people into the city who are in developments outside the city. And indeed, through history, much of what happens is when you get sewer service, which is kind of what you need if you're going to have an intense collection of people, when you get sewer service, you typically have signed a waiver that says, in order to get the sewer service, I agree to be part of the city when it's time for that boundary to be moved. And we have thousands of those waivers, and that is an impact in the annexation process. But it's just an organic growth of a city that continues to have population growing.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He joins us every Tuesday after 4:05. We talk about local city issues, obviously, and annexation will be a big one that we will touch on as we move on through this process. So, again, the city council will make the final decision on it. You'll start with presenting the economic impact.
The fiscal, yeah. Okay. And I can tell you this week, we should be releasing this week the detailed fiscal analysis, which will show the impact by parcel. You can look up your address that week. We have to get that all organized. And that's what that's how the council starts the process again, resumes that process with the adoption of updated fiscal ordinances.
Gotcha. All right. So the council's been very busy here lately, and they were very busy last week as well. And, well, you had some CARES money that needs to be figured out where that's going to go. You've got suplexes, duplexes, and all the everything else that goes along with all of that. City Council was busy last week.
They were. They had several meetings. We had a meeting to talk about that new rescue plan money, American Rescue Plan Act money that's coming, $22 million to the city, $29 million to the county. And I know the county council is reviewing it just like the city council. We'll have, again, months of process to think about that. But we started that conversation about where should that go, into affordable housing, into replacing lost municipal revenue, into jobs and support for the economy and infrastructure and those kinds of things. And that's an ongoing conversation. They also had a meeting to talk about plexes and the final stages of the zoning update That continues tonight, actually. They're having a special session tonight and then tomorrow night and maybe even Thursday if they need to. So they're very busy. They're earning their part-time pay. They're full-time almost these days with what they're doing.
I don't even want to get into if that's going to change, how that process would work. But no, they are getting after it. And again, people can participate through Zoom. They don't have to go out in the rain. They can just pop it on at home and grab the link, and away they go. That is always fun as well. Mayor Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. We got 1,000 things going on, and we won't get to them all today, but we're going to try. You and Indiana University are trying to get together and come up with a new name for the former Jordan Avenue. Are we renaming the river is done, correct? So anything that's got Jordan on it's going to change.
Well, you're right. This process kind of began with Indiana University, which had its own internal process looking at Jordan Hall and the Jordan River and the Jordan Street through their campus, and they made a long process and announced the plans to rename those things because of a dark history from David Starr Jordan, who was a president of IU and had a really strong leadership connection with eugenics and some racial animus, and they took that study on and made that announcement. And when they did so, as a city, we said, look, let's talk with IU because Jordan Avenue, runs not just through the campus but also into the city. So working with them, they've agreed to basically kind of participate in this committee that I named, and it's a group of 7 residents who will be receiving what are now approaching 5,000 individuals who've suggested different names for this, and they will review those, and it's not something you do lightly. They take it very seriously. There's a mix of folks who live on Jordan Avenue, who are part of the university, part of the community, and then they recommend, they will be recommending to the Plan Commission, which is the state statutory entity that has to approve any name change. So that I expect it'll be a few months, and we do welcome suggestions about a more appropriate name to honor either a person or an idea or a principle or something that might make sense to do for that street.
How many applications again have you received?
I was told they've gotten 4,800 contacts. Now some of those are, people saying, yeah, that's what I think too. So I don't know how many different names, but they'll be looking at that. Some of them don't take a lot of thought and probably to review. People enjoy being very creative and witty, but we'll see where it comes out. And I'm glad that group is going to meet and make a recommendation to the Plan Commission.
And then the Plan Commission, who has the final say on how this all works out?
Yeah, it's the Plan Commission. Okay. Under state law. I'm not sure if the council could do something if they chose. I don't know ultimately, but under state law, the Plan Commission oversees and designates the names like that. Now, you might remember, you not think about it, but you have to involve the public safety and other folks because you got to have a name that is not confusing with another name. It can't be a repeat of a name anywhere else in the jurisdiction.
And right.
So there's a lot of restrictions on what you can actually do.
But as we were laughing earlier, you know what happens when you let the general public in on things like this. You get some very, very interesting answers, to say the
least. Bodie McBode is a famous, yes,
there
that was
you
the
go.
Result of a vote. If you had just a pure vote, you got Bodie McBode and Streety McStreet. I don't know, where we'd end up.
Well, it's good we can laugh because we know that will not be the final choice. This will not be put up for a quote-unquote vote when it's all said and done. But let the creative juices flow if you'd like to be a part of this project. Here we are with Mayor Hamilton. It's live on a Tuesday, 4:24 at WGCL. Tremendously busy week here in the city of Bloomington. Why? Well, Mayor, we've already had one U-Haul truck make news for the wrong reasons.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
It's unbelievable that nobody was hurt in there. Thank goodness for that. But we know Indiana University graduation Friday and Saturday. We know we'll have an influx of people, an influx of U-Hauls, Ryder trucks, whatever, in and out of town. It's our first marker of summer.
It's one of our big rhythms of this city, isn't it? The move out and the move in and the change of rhythm for summer. It's kind of a welcome thing if it maybe can feel a little bit like normalcy coming back. We're not there yet. We've still got a lot of issues on the pandemic front, but it is a busy week for a lot of families.
And every Friday, you get together with your group and have a press conference at 1:15. I get lost on those Fridays. I got too many other things going. What are we learning? Are our numbers in Monroe County? I haven't seen any front page news. That worries me for two reasons, because sometimes front page news is either really good or really bad, just not boring. Well, you know what I'm trying to get at here. I'm not knocking the newspaper. That's just kind of the business sometimes.
Well, you've kind of hinted at it. It was really we're kind of in a nervous holding pattern. We had seen deterioration. We'd seen bad direction on some of the major indicators of hospitalizations and caseloads, positive cases and even positivity rate. That had kind of steadied. It's kind of settled. It's not continuing to get worse, but it's not really significantly getting better, at least that we can count on. So all of us Friday were kind of nervously just noting we don't know what direction we're going. You know, we know that vaccinations are the key, but we also know that vaccinations are slowing down. The rate of people getting shots in the arms has decreased here locally and statewide and nationally. So there's a lot of concern about, well, are we going to get to the real level of vaccinations that we need? And you and I have talked about it. We both did it. But it appears that there's a real slowdown, and that starts to make us worry about, well, what will it be like if only half of our population gets vaccinated? How are we going to handle that? So I'd say there's a real holding concern right now. You know, we still want to encourage everyone to get vaccinated. That's how we're going to beat the pandemic. You know, we're continuing to offer $100 for every employee who gets vaccinated. We're up close to 300 now, I think, who've gotten vaccine plus 2 weeks and filed for their money. And I'm happy to have that pay, because that's how we're going to get a healthier community, a healthier workforce. So it's just kind of watch and wait and hope we keep seeing more vaccinations happening.
Now, I talked about the story earlier where the New Jersey governor, Phil Murphy, has a deal. If you're 21 and over, you get a shot, and then you take your card to one of 13 breweries in New Jersey. They give you free beer. Well, is it going to come to that where, I mean, you're trying it with your employees, but if we don't get to herd immunity, are we going to just run this around in circles till what happens?
Well, there's a real concern about what will happen, and of course, it's not just Bloomington or Indiana or even the United States. It's the whole planet, because if the bug can germinate and spread and vary and, you know, evolve in different places, that can come back to get us too. So I do hope that big institutions like Indiana University and like Cook and like IU Health and like the school system and other places will look at how do we encourage, incentivize, maybe even require people to get vaccines in order to have a safe workplace or an institution. We've thought about that. We're working on incentives right now because it's preferable. But it's just really important to defeat the pandemic that way, and there's a lot of worry that we're not there. So if we don't, we're going to be living with this thing for longer, and will we have to wear masks? What will the setting be in restaurants and sporting events and those kinds of things? You know, this is a community that depends on tourism, and we love our big events, but we just, the jury is still out on that, and it's making me nervous.
Well, and part of the jury, we know, at least my friend Jordan Davis, the operations manager of the Chocolate Moose, I always talk restaurant business with him on Tuesdays before you come on. He said there will be no Taste of Bloomington this year. Heard that from Talisha Kopic. They will do something similar to last year where you can pick things up and do all of that. But I guess everybody has come together and said we don't need 15,000 people in the month of June downtown in Bloomington having a good time.
Yeah, it's tricky, even though outside is safer. And, you know, I have to tell you, it was neat, because over the last few days I've been able to have meals outside with fully vaccinated friends that I haven't been able to do for a year. And that's a good thing. That's what you can do when you're vaccinated. But, you know, really large gatherings are still problematic. And that's the kind of thing that's going to be on the, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down is going to depend upon what our numbers look like, what our vaccinations look like. And the more we can just encourage people to get out there and take care of this, we'll be in a better spot come June and July and August. And, you know, my goodness, I didn't think we'd be talking this way a year ago, but here we are.
And a year ago, we were asking people just to stay home and wash their hands so we could have football and gatherings and everything else. Well, that didn't work. And now we give them a vaccine and say, oh, you could be all right. Well, that doesn't work. Well, what's going to work?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we know what works. The vaccine works. If people won't take the vaccine, I don't think we don't have anything like that. So if we don't take the vaccines, then we're going to have to be continuing. You know, again, I'm not an epidemiologist, but we're going to have to keep trying to protect the people who are at great risk. We continue to lose people to this disease. It's, you know, it's not just a cold or a flu. It's more serious than that. So it's something we got to take really seriously.
Yeah, and there's some other things that we're looking at. I heard maybe some water going in some pools here locally. Are we getting, besides the rain, are we going to start trying? Well, that sounds like fun.
Well, you know, if you have noticed, we're testing our pools. We're filling them up. They didn't get filled up last year, so we got to check them and train our lifeguards and all that. And we're going through that.
Make sure the heaters work. That's the main thing. 62 yeah. degrees out there.
That's true. Man, we still have to work with the county health department, and every week we have to look at the data and see what's going to be allowed. But I will note the Parks Department programs are open for signing up. They told me they've got like a 4X, fourfold increase in the tennis lessons people are signing up for, and you can go to Twin Lakes, and there are things you can do and programs to look at that all get that screened and approved by the health officials. But everything is kind of, you got to take it a step at a time.
That's exactly right, and summer's going to be here before we know it. We know May is lengthy, but, yeah, so if you want to get involved, that's the good thing. There are many ways to do so, and you can find it at the city's website. Makes that easy enough. And the other big news from Indianapolis today, the Indiana State Fair will commence on July 30th. Now, I just saw headlines on that. I haven't got to all the details yet, so... Indy 500 is going to have 135,000 people. The state fair is going to run July 30th through August 22nd. I don't know if we're in mixed messages here, but it's tough to keep it all heads and tails.
You know, obviously school systems have to be continuing to review this, colleges, everybody is, and arts organizations, and the 4th of July parade, and all those things, fireworks, all have to be reviewed and looked at, and it is frustrating because we know how to fix this thing. We have the answer, but people are not choosing to do it, and that's unfortunate because it means we're going to have to keep measuring all this stuff day by day, week by week. And, you know, the Griffey Lake Boathouse is open, so you can go out on the weekends. But other things are not open. And we got to keep taking it a step at a time again.
And if my forecast continues, the Griffey Lake Boathouse will be open for ice skating lessons. We're supposed to be 71. It's 62 all week long. I'm trying to get the rain out of here for Mother's Day so we can at least have a nice Sunday and get Mom out of the house without having to haul the umbrellas and everything else that's happening. So other than the council meeting all week this week, other than graduation, two of them this weekend, other than Mother's Day, well, there's nothing going on around here. That's just the next 5 days.
It's an exciting city, and, you know, graduation is a beautiful time of year for people. It's been a rough year for all the students, and my heart goes out to them, and I'm glad they've made it through. IU's done a great job, and I hope they get a chance to celebrate. They'll be talking about this the rest of their life, that they graduated after the pandemic year, and hope it'll put it in perspective for them.
Amen. Any large announcements coming tomorrow? I forgot to ask last week.
That's a trick question. I'll let you know when I can.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. And you know I'm just joking around with you.
I do.
News comes when it comes. It doesn't have to be set on any kind of agenda. Will you come back next Tuesday just in case we have all of this to talk about again?
I look forward to it, Mike.
John, I always appreciate the time as well. Thank you, my friend. Stay dry. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next Tuesday. And I hope, because remember, last Tuesday was 83 degrees. This Tuesday is 60 degrees. I'm hoping next Tuesday will be somewhere right in the middle, kind of Goldilocks style for all of us.
I'll look forward to it. I know you'll tell me, too, how we're doing.
Exactly right. Thanks, pal. I appreciate it.